There's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you to dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion, and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries. Learn about benefits and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we got a special episode for you today. I was about to say bonus episode, but you know what? This is the main episode of the
podcast. This is mainline, baby.
This is mainline. This is too much information, but we are not having a live show tonight, April 7th. We were supposed to have a great guest on it. Unfortunately, some stuff came up with traveling for myself and Justin.
Phoenix, Arizona, right, guys?
What?
That's where I'm going.
Oh, that's where you're going. I'm not going there, actually, but maybe I am now. I don't know.
Yeah, come with me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll come with you. Anyway, we are instead having our guest, who has very generously agreed to chat with us anyway at a non-live time. One of our favorite guys, one of my favorite guys to talk to over the years. Very excited to talk to him about all the awesome comic book work he has coming out. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Morris. Jordan, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, it's me, Mainline Morris, here on the Mainline episode.
Jordan, always excited to talk to you.
Thank you, likewise.
You have a bunch of stuff coming out. I'll kind of lay out like some of the titles that are coming out in order. We got Web of Venom coming out from Marvel on April 8th. Then Amazing Spider-Man Spider-Versity, which you're co-writing with Joe Kelly, is coming out April 22nd. And the third issue of Predator Bloodshed is coming out April 29th. People can pick up the first two issues now. And I want to talk about all that stuff, but I want to talk about sort of something leading into that first, which is that your career, at least from our perspective, from my perspective as a comic book dude, has changed dramatically over the past couple of years. Like, we first met through podcasting stuff and comedy stuff. You did your podcast, made it into a comic book, did another graphic novel, and now you're very much in your Marvel era. What has that journey been like, Jordan?
I have never thought about myself as having eras. I'm just like Taylor Swift.
You're Taylor. That's Godzilla.
Godzilla also has eras. So.
Yes, true.
Wow. Yeah, I had not thought about it like that. But yeah, it's very cool. And yeah, it is interesting to kind of track stuff I've been doing as it relates to this podcast, because I was a listener of y'all's, and I think maybe the first time I did it, I was just in New York and kind of invited myself on, and I'm like, hey, I'm just a guy who likes comics and likes the show. And so, yeah, I think I came on, and I think in the recommendations, someone's like, have you checked out this book, Saga? And anyway, if that dates it at all, Saga was just coming out, and someone's like, maybe check this thing out. It might become one of the greatest comics of all time. So yeah, and then it's been so fun to like come on just as a, you know, comics fan, and then to come on and actually talk about comics that I have made. It's insanely cool, and it's like not lost on me. And like, as far as how I'm feeling about now getting to work with Marvel stuff, like, I don't have a more interesting answer than it's so cool. It's great, and I love it, and it's fun. I wish I had a more nuanced take on it, but just like, yeah, I mean, you guys know I've, you know, been a Marvel reader basically my whole life. And like, yeah, it's, you know, just always this weird little dream that you have, like, oh, maybe I could, da, da, da. But like, and to actually do it and to like see your name in a book and to like do something that's part of the 616 and to do something with Joe Kelly. I mean, yeah, this stuff is really cool. I'm really like lucky, and you know, there's a perhaps a little bit of hard work and skill involved, I guess. But like, like a lot of the stuff is just like it's luck and good timing, and I'm just like feel so thankful that I get to do it, and it's been so much fun, and I'm so happy with how this stuff is turning out. Like, I think it's coming out really good. And yeah, and I you know, and I know that as creative people, you'd know that feeling of like, you do something and it's in your brain and then it comes out and you kind of pick it apart and you're like, well, yeah, you know, and I have those feelings about this stuff, but mostly I'm like, whoa, cool, you know, and I think getting to work with cool artists is absolutely a big part of it because, you know, they obviously are just drawing the hell out of these books and, you know, good editors to kind of like help you along. But yeah, I don't know. I'm stoked. It's cool. This is a good era.
Well, and like I feel like a lot of people sneak into their Marvel era with like doing a fill-in arc or launching something, and it's sort of like getting it on the boilerplate. But you're in here doing big weird stuff. Can we call this stuff big and weird? Because it is in the best way.
Yeah, thank you. It is big and weird. I agree.
So why don't you talk about Web of Venom first, since that's absolutely wild?
Yes, I can. I'll talk about it carefully because I think there's a fun. There's a very fun secret in it, and there's a fun reveal. So I'll be as, you know, cagey as possible while hopefully, you know, actually making people want to buy it. So this is, you know, there has been, if you're a Spidey Venom reader, you know that this red and blue Venom suit has been popping up in various ways in the comics. And so I think in an issue of Venom by Al Ewing, the MJ Venom put on the red and blue Venom suit to kind of like trick Doc Ock. And I wrote a great this turned out great. Anyway, I liked it. It turned out really good.
It turned out great.
I wrote a backup. I wrote a backup for that issue.
An even better story.
Yeah, that really made the first one look like a stinker. Venom's been awesome so far. If people are not reading Venom, get caught up. Oh my God, Al Ewing, Carlos Gomez, what a book. I wrote a backup for that issue about this kind of alternate reality of a character named Eddie Parker, who gets a symbiote named Pete, who maybe is a little gregarious but has a code of honor, likes to make a lot of jokes. We wrote this kind of backup story about this, kind of amalgamation character. I think that turned out really cool. My friend and yours, Jordan D. White, the editor of the Venom books, came to me and said, we want to do something with this costume that is in the 616. We want it to be like, you know, just kind of an official part of the world. That's kind of what they came to me with. And then the idea is they wanted it to be someone in the 616. They didn't want it to be just like a new person or a kind of an amalgamation character. They wanted it to be like someone we know and love gets this red and blue symbiote. And I pitched them a bunch of ideas. It ranged from I could see that to that's insane.
Good.
And they decided on one. I'm really stoked with the one they picked. So this is probably where I should like stop saying specifics because I think the reveal is really fun. There is a character from Marvel Comics who we all know and love, part of the Spidey Venom family, who gets this symbiote. Maybe somebody you wouldn't expect, maybe somebody who's a little ill-equipped for this kind of power.
It's me. I am those things.
You could not handle it.
I can't handle it. Too much goop. I don't like goop.
Just a simple podcast host who gets the goop. It is a kind of one-shot story about this very unusual character who gets a symbiote, who has to kind of go on this adventure. Maybe an Avenger or two shows up. I don't know.
I feel like you know, but
I do actually know.
Probably wouldn't.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm a serious tricker. Yeah. I turn in a script. I don't know what was in it. I think it's cool. I think if you love the like, if you love the deep bench like I do, if you love the like bar with no name weirdos, if you love those kind of like goofier Spidey villains, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this book. And yeah, and I think it's something we maybe want to continue. So I hope folks pick it up. If you like it, please, you know, tell a friend, tell the internet, because yeah, it's a fun, cool Spidey Venom story, and I'm really stoked.
You know, this is not your department, but here you describe the genesis of this. It is a very funny only in comics thing where it's like, we need to find out what these clothes are up to. But yeah. It needs to be different clothes than the previous clothes. And obviously, like, I'm sure you figured out a story behind that that makes sense.
Yes.
Comedically, emotionally, etc. But it's just the way these things go, it's very funny. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's definitely like, yeah, they just kind of like, yeah, they're like aware that like fans are kind of into this, you know, into this look and into this suit, and they want to like create something cool for it. Because, yeah, I mean, comics are visual. Like, as a kid, I mean, you know, the first comics we picked up were probably just because the cover looked cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they're kind of like leaning into that. And, yeah, I think we had a fun, it's really like a fun, it's a fun way to like put together a story, I think. And I had a blast with it. And yeah, I think we kind of came up with something cool.
Next up, while we're walking through the month of April, you have Spider-Versity, which I love the concept of this. We had Joe on the show a couple of weeks back, and he talked about it a little bit and talked about working with you. Very complimentary. Mm. But the idea of this book, for anybody who doesn't know, is Norman Osborn, who has been a good guy for a little while, or sort of a good guy, or a conflicted good guy, realizes at some point he's going to turn back into the Green Goblin. Most likely there's going to be that pull there, and he wants to prepare the younger spider heroes to get ready, essentially, to defeat him, or potentially foes that are worse than him. So that's the pitch. What else do we need to know about the book, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. I should double back and shout out Luke Ross and Ramon Rosanas, who are doing the art for Web of Venom.
Yes.
Doing a beautiful job. This art looks gorgeous. The fight scenes. And yeah, both of them are very good with acting. And I think the little bit of comedy in our book we have lands real good. So beautiful art from those fellas. Okay. Spider-Versity. Yeah. So this was really cool. I think this like... yeah, I think just someone came up with this portmanteau, Spider-Versity, and I think they liked the idea and were just kind of trying to kind of figure out, you know, what to do with this idea. I think it's been kind of in the...
Sorry, in I'm the, just enjoying the pattern of like, we have clothes. What clothes. Do we do with I them? Go to Jordan. Yeah. We have a name. What does it mean? I don't know.
I think it's been in the freezer at Marvel for a minute. And yeah, I think this is definitely Joe's baby. And he, you know, came with a lot of it worked out. And yeah, like you said, kind of in the pages of ASM, which if you're not reading it, oh my God, you should do it. It's wild right now.
So good.
Some really cool stuff. They I think they kind of just found a place where this fit really cool in that, like, Norman is kind of in this era of his. Me, Norman Osborn, and Taylor Swift.
Mainline.
Three mainline dudes. where, yeah, he is kind of trying to be a good guy and mostly succeeding. And, yeah, I think he knows, you know, like, almost like he's a comic book reader. He knows that, like, the Goblin could come back at any time. And, like, when he does, somebody's got to do something about him. And I think he's fought Pete enough times to where he knows, like, you know, Pete's a softy in so many ways, and he wants to forgive people, and he wants to see the best in people. And, like, obviously that's why he's one of the greatest comic book heroes of all time. And that's why we love him. But I think that's to Norman, that's soft. And I think his motivation is he's like, can I train some of these younger spiders who are so powerful? I think he sees that in them. Like, there's been some times when they've fought with each other, or fought alongside each other, I guess I should say, in ASM. And, like, he knows that, like, wow, like, these kids have some, like, serious abilities. Like, Miles and Gwen punch above their weight class so often. And, like, Spider-Girl, like, she has some insane powers that, like, if tapped correctly, she could just be this, like, Omega-level hero. And, like, and I know Omega-level is something you say when you talk about mutants, so don't get in my mentions. I'm just trying to be descriptive. stay out of my mentions. But yeah, I think so. He has kind of put together this concept, Spider-Versity, with kind of under the kind of observation of Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman. And yeah, the idea is to like help these kids to fight as a team, like because they could be the X-Men, they could be the Avengers. They certainly have the power, like they have, you know, the juice and the experience, but like. It's always interesting as a reader. It's like when the spiders team up, right? Like in the Spider-Verse stuff, it's kind of like impromptu. It's like, okay, we got to do something. You know, like, okay, yeah. Something's happening. There's vampires. They're eating us. And then like everyone teams up. But they've never like had that organizing.
Yes. Oh, that's such a great structure. Observation. I feel like you're right. Like so much of spider characters teaming up are like, oh, I happen to be on the same block. It's like a coincidence when... So many other families, it's very much an organized event.
Right, yeah. And I think part of that is, like, it even goes back to, like, spider sense, right? Like, it happens in the moment. It's an instinct. Yeah. It's something that's in the gut. And it's like, yes, they do that so well. Like Pete, he improvises, you know? Like, that's his thing. And I think Norman is saying, like, what if there was training? What if there was a plan in place for stuff? What if it wasn't just like when the spider sense goes off, we thwip somewhere? Because he's such a tactician. He plans for every eventuality. Like that's what he's great at. That's why he's such a great villain. And that's why he's given like a good Spider-Man in the pages of ASM, is because he does have those tactics. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of the jumping on point for the story. And so he is kind of like giving them the infrastructure to work as a team. But also, I know there's kind of a promise with that title of Spider-Versity of like, you kind of want to see him do college stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. And I think that's really fun. The fun idea of like setting a Spidey story at college. And some of them are college age, some of them are not. But I think I hope we put in some of the fun of like, what's their dorm room look like? What happens when they go to a college party? How do they relate to the other kids on campus who are not super powered ass kickers? So yeah, I hope we bring both. I hope we bring
I was just going to say, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because a personal pet peeve is when I get into school-based stuff and they're like, this is set in a school, and now they've left the school and they never go to class and there's nothing about it. So actually embracing that is great. And like, I mean this sincerely, not as a joke. When you're crafting something like this, how much do you actually have to form a lesson plan for everybody to follow?
It's interesting because you do have to think like Norman a little bit. You do have to think like, what would this guy think is important? How would he set it up? Yeah, so I feel like I did kind of have to be like Professor Norman. And I say I, and like obviously like Joe Kelly has a lot to say about this. And our great editor, Nick Lowe, also just a great dude and a fount of comic book knowledge. Oh, my God. I'm sure you've talked to him in the at some point. But a wonderful dude who knows his stuff. I think we are kind of thinking about like, what would be on Professor Norman Osborn's lesson plan. And yeah, I think we've come up with some really fun stuff. And I should say that like Perry Perez is just could not be drawing this thing harder. He's doing such a great job. Awesome action, like super expressive characters. Yeah. If you've seen any of his stuff, like his team up books are so good. And like, he's bringing that here for sure.
Alex is so curious because he got rejected from Spider-Versity.
Twice.
Cornell.
I applied early decision the first time.
Did you have a spider safety school?
Yes, I went to SUNY Purchase, which is Spider University of New York.
Okay. Wow, good.
You can just go to Spider Community College for a couple years and save some money.
Yeah, learn from actual spiders.
Live at home.
Yeah. Yeah, live at home commute.
I had a follow-up about Norman, because Alex was sort of saying, we don't trust him. No one trusts him as a character.
Yeah.
But in this case, like, he's gone from, like, just being, he had his sins taken away, and then he's just, like, Spider-Man's bud, guy-in-the-chair-esque person, to being Spider-Man, and now to train a generation of heroes how to beat him. Feels like genuinely heroic. He's like setting up himself to be sacrificed for good, essentially. Yeah. So do you feel, is he a hero? Has he crossed the Rubicon?
Yeah. I mean, I think that this thing that he's doing is like genuinely has good intentions. Now, is he going about it the right way? You'll have to read. But yeah, I think that it is selfless. And I think that, like, you know, like all great comic book characters, he's two people. He's Norman Osborn and he's the Goblin. And he, like, knows what the Goblin can do. And he's planning for it. So, yeah, I do think Norman has good intentions. And I am trying to think about him like Pete thinks about him. Like, Pete just sees the best in people. That, again, that's like why he's one of the great comic book characters. He sees the best in people. He forgives them. Like, and yeah, so I guess I'm trying to think about him like that. And it's tough because I've been reading about all the shit this guy's done all my life. And he's so bad.
He's a bad dude. You
know? He's a bad dude. Yeah. Like, I personally have read so many stories about this guy being evil. And I'm like, do I trust this guy? You know, would I do this? I don't know. But I am trying to look at him like Pete looks at him, which is like he's worthy of forgiveness because everybody is, you know. So yeah, it's interesting. It's a thought exercise for sure. And yeah, I don't know. And I think that's what makes it kind of an interesting, juicy story, and not just like, you know, characters teaming up to defeat another you know, turbo alien, which obviously is cool, and I will read about
that. I love a turbo alien.
Hey, yeah, sure, yeah.
Way better than reg alien.
Thank you. Yeah, who's gonna play turbo alien in the MCU? Glenn Powell. Obviously it'll be Glenn Powell, but yeah, I don't know. I think this does have a little like emotional layer, thought exercise layer that's really fun.
I don't know if this is too spoilery a question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So this title is feeding directly out of the current plot line in Amazing Spider-Man. It's been set up there. I believe there's 5 issues. Is that correct?
5 issues, yes.
5 issues. Running monthly, that would wrap it up around September, which is when I believe around Amazing Spider-Man 1000, when that's going to be released. Is this going to be feeding back into that?
I can answer that question, Alex. I don't know. No one tells me anything.
That's the best way to avoid spoilers. Not knowing.
Genuinely, I don't know. My feeling, just based on some emails, is that there will be stuff happening in Spider-Versity that will that will be important in ASM 1000. Now, do I know that for sure? Absolutely not. Stay out of my mentions. But I do think that there's stuff we're doing in the book that will carry over into ASM 1000.
Yeah. Sorry, Jordan, I'm in your mentions right now, and it's an absolute disaster. Everyone's mad. Everyone's yelling. It's crazy. Yeah. Everyone's fighting each other.
Yeah.
It's weirdly Taylor Swift responded. It was like, stop lumping us in together. I don't know. Yeah. That seems weird.
She's saying there's a love triangle with you and Travis and her. So, like,
listen, this is – I cannot comment on this.
Spoilers.
Oh, no. That will be an ASM 1000. That will actually be a thing.
That I can promise.
Me having an affair with Travis Kelce. It's the weirdest swing for that issue.
Yeah, that's the triangle we expected.
We can rub beards. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. If I had to predict Amazing Spider-Man 1000 with this Norman Osborn situation, it feels important.
I don't know.
That's my absolutely uninformed
point. I say I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, I believe it.
I want to ask you about the third title. We mentioned Predator Bloodshed. Like I said, the third issue is coming out April 29th. And this title is great.
Thank you.
Love the first 2 issues of it. For anybody who hasn't read it, this isn't exactly what it is, but it was sold as like MMA fighters and then the Predator enters the ring. I would put it more akin to like, what if a Predator came on Mortal Kombat, basically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except like license-free Mortal Kombat.
Yes. A legally dissimilar underground fighting tournament that no one can sue about.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Like, we have Ice Guy and Spearman.
Yeah.
And it is. Like, it's great. Yeah. You have these
Come
ridiculous...
closer to me, he shouts. as he...
A little less hooky than get over here, but...
Yeah. It's but all of the characters are really well drawn and very precise. It's fun to see them going up against a Predator and getting killed in horrible ways. You also do have an emotional hook there that feels like a very classic Predator emotional hook of a guy who just wants to get back to his family and do right by his family, and then is stuck in this situation. not that it's without humor, but mm-hmm. knowing you as more of a humor guy, and these two books we've talked about, like Spider-Versity sounds like it has some humor in it for sure, mm-hmm. Web of Venom, definitely. But getting this book, was there more of a conscious effort to be like, okay, I'm going to take this a little more seriously? This isn't going to be jokes per minute?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something I have been thinking a lot about. And you know, so, okay, you know when you, like, see something announced in the, you know, press, whether it be a comic or a movie, and you, like, see the creative team, and you're like, huh, that's a weird choice. That's what I felt like when they asked me to do this. I'm like, that's a weird choice. Me? a guy? You know, yes, who has you know, a very comedy-heavy resume. But I was flattered. I couldn't – I mean, I was so excited they asked me to do this. I think it started with – I did a story in an anthology called Predator, Black, White, and Blood that I think turned out really cool. The great editor Martin Bureau over there at Marvel asked me to do it. And, yeah, I think they were just kind of happy with how that story turned out and my timeliness with my scripts. And so, yeah, they asked me to do the mini, and I thought to myself, like, I don't know if I'm the guy for this. Like, yeah, you know, like Predator stuff. It's funny, but like it is not jokes per minute. Like, it has a couple of choice moments and lines, and you know, maybe even like if you look at that first movie, some stuff that's like, you know, kind of funny because it's campy rather than like it being a structured joke. So yeah, I thought a lot about it, and you know, I think I had an instinct of like, could I do a Predator parody book? You know, like, is this a thing where I find a funny spin on it? And you know, like, what is it like when your whole society hunts people for sport? And does anything get done? And you know, are there accountants on the Predator planet? What are they like? So you know, I thought about that, but like, I don't know. Then I just thought, like, what if I just did it? Like, what if I just tried to write a Predator thing? I've seen enough Predator stuff. I love those movies. I love those Dark Horse comics. Like, I've spent so much time in this little world. Like, I think I could do it. I think I know what I like about the series. I think I know what I think I know what I respond to, and could I just do that? So I kind of, like, I don't know. I thought it would be fun to try. Because, yeah, I think, you know, I've worked in late night. I've worked in kids animation, something where you have to, like, just come up with a lot of jokes. And I like that stuff. But, yeah, what if I'm like, okay, maybe I'll take the story a little more seriously. And I'll kind of think about the action and, like, what's the humor like in Predator stuff? Can I try and replicate it? And I think that there are a couple of, like, funny jokes in each issue and, like, It's not humorless, and it's not, you know, grim dark. I think it does have fun and stuff in it, but yeah, I don't know. I just thought to myself, like, what if I just tried to do a Predator thing? And it's been fun. I think it was the way to go, and I really like how it's turning out. And yeah, I think it is, like, I think it does have the stuff that I like about Predator in it. While also having some fun. And I think we definitely, like, those movies are full of commentary. Like, they have a bunch of, like, political and societal commentary. The Predator, who's the Predator? Is it man? You know, or is it the fucking alien that's chopping our heads off? Well, it's the alien, but also, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Short answer, long answer.
Yeah, so I think we're trying to kind of bring some, like, kind of dark humor and some commentary to it as well. I don't know. It's been really fun, and I'm glad we're taking the approach of, like, just do a Predator thing rather than, like, what's the spoof version, even though that would be probably kind of funny and fun. But
I saw this is the stupidest way to introduce something, but I saw a post on Blue Sky the other day that I was like, I kind of agree with, but I'm not 100% sure about, but I think it's applicable to this conversation, which somebody was throwing out their theory why so many comedy and specifically sketch comedy people are good at also horror. Like, they only mentioned Zach Krieger from White as Kids and Jordan Peele from Key and Peele. I'd throw Josh Rubin, who you know probably from College Humor stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
He did The Menu?
No. He did Heart Werewolves Eyes. Within and Heart Eyes, which are both really fun.
Is it The Menu an onion guy?
The Menu's a late night writer from Seth Meyers' show.
Oh, okay. Seth.
So I don't know. He had some sort of assertion about like a surprise and shock or something like that, which I was like, all right, maybe that gets kind of towards it. But I'd love to get your take on it as somebody who does have the comedy background, but is also doing a very good job with pretty straight across the plate Predator book. What do you think the confluence there is? Why does comedy make it easier to do these horror and or horror action things?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yeah, I don't have a like super solid answer, but I think it's like, it's that stuff you said. It's just like, you know, a big part of comedy is surprise. It's shock. It's like something unexpected happening. It's, you know, a laugh is a body's, you know, reaction to something unexpected. And yeah, and that's like obviously what makes great horror too. Something surprising, something shocking. So like, yeah. So I think someone who has done a lot of comedy kind of knows about that push-pull pretty well. I do think like horror stuff, I think the horror stuff that's endured so well does have a lot of comedy in it. Like Scream is very funny. Those movies are funny. Like they're obviously so gruesome too, but like, I don't know, so much a part of a reason why that movie hit is that it has good jokes in it. It has good commentary, yeah. And it's a different kind of joke than that's in, you know, a straight up comedy, but like, you know, Freddy's funny. Like the Predator movies are funny. And I think all this stuff has comedy in it, and it's not the first thing you think about, but I think it's part of the reason people love it. So I think that like the horror stuff that stuck around for the most part, I think isn't the most grim, dark ordeal stuff, but it is stuff that mixes in a little comedy sparingly. Like it's a, you know, it's a spice. If it's too much, then yeah, you know, it ruins the dish. And I think we can all think of a horror thing or two that like goes a little too hard with the comedy and it fucks it up, you know. And I think we all have that example in our head of like they tried a little too hard to be funny with this and it shit the bed. And I think about that with Predator a lot. And they've definitely cut a lot of jokes. To be very clear, I have good editors who are saying, like, this is too much of a joke. I'll tell you off mic about some of the stuff they wouldn't let us do. But it's not much, honestly. It's just a couple things, and they were probably right about it. Anyway, I don't know. I think great horror stuff has comedy in it. And I think used judiciously and correctly, it's part of the reason we love the stuff, you know.
It's always funny to me that people are like, well, you can't have any of that in there when so much of life is like a horrible thing followed by a funny thing.
Yeah.
And laughing totally at those things. And I also, like you're saying, I feel like a really good joke actually helps set you up for the next scary moment because it disarms you. Now and then when you're scared, then you're like, I need to laugh to release this. Like, it's the push-pull of it. And that's, I feel like, exactly what you're saying and doing with this book.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And I think we're certainly trying that with Bloodshed of, like, you know, having those moments kind of exist near each other and, making sure that it is fun but also shocking. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of stuff, Jordan. You have three big books going on. But before we start to wrap up here, anything else you want to plug?
Let's see. I do a little bit of podcasting over there on the Maximum Fun Network. I do Jordan Jesse Go, a chat show with Jesse Thorne that I've done for years and years and years. We have a guest on and we shoot the shit. And I also have a year-ish old podcast that I do with the great comics Emily Fleming and Matt Lieb. We do Free with Ads, and that is a show where we watch a weird movie on a free with ads streaming site. And we talk about it. And we have a lot of fun over there. And we do a lot of horror and we do a lot of cult stuff and we do a lot of campy stuff. That's a fun time. And you can listen to both of those wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. Jordan, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on. Great talking to you as always.
Thanks. Yeah, y'all too.
Looking forward to seeing how it works out with you and Travis.
Yeah. Really I gotta get that ring.